Busek said, the part we're talking about, the show, Scholes was wandering looking for his lost female donkeys, and he was together with his nar, with his servant from his house, they had just about given up hope, but they heard that there was, in a certain city nearby, there was an Isha Elohim, there was a holy man, Shmuel, who was visiting there, and they said, you know what, let's go ask Shmuel. Let's go ask Shmuel what happened to the Asonos. So it says in Pasuk Tes, if not funny be Yisrael, it used to be in Klaiso, Ka'amar, I'm sorry, Pasuk Vav, excuse me, Pasuk Vav. He said the Nar said to Shaul, there's a holy man in the city, and this person is just so distinguished. Anything he says comes to pass. Let us go there now. Maybe he'll tell us our way, which we're working on. In other words, how to continue and how to find the Asonos. So Shaul said to his servant, okay, let's go. But what are you going to bring to this person? You know, you go to a Rebbe, you know, you don't get into the Rebbe without a check, right? That's the rule. Because all our bread is gone. And there's no, we don't have any present to bring to the Yisholakim. My daughter, what's going to be with us? How can he go? So, it's amazing to me that Shaul seems to be completely oblivious of Shmuel. In other words, we know from previous Brachim that Shmuel never took any money, never took any personal benefit, and yet Shaul seems to be completely oblivious of that, and that will recur throughout this meeting between Shaul and Shmuel. Shaul have no concept of who he's meeting. It's like taking a goy to meet a Hasidic Rebbe. Really, no concept whatsoever. And that's very strange. However, be that as it may, the Rashi brings down here in Pasuk Zayin that fact. Well, actually, not be that as it may. There's down explicitly. Mano vilaish, turn him into a kabo moment. If he takes money, mano ilagabra. Well, you're going to bring it to the person. Lawyer Shaul makir b'masav shoshmul v'savashi yishal schar. They thought Shaul is going to ask for some kind of reward. Reb Tzadok, however, says, although Shmuel would normally not take any money for the services he rented to Klai Yisrael, here, where he rented services for a specific individual, he was allowed to do so. In fact, he was supposed to do so. And let's see, in Pasuk Ches, the Rabbag brings down, let me just read the Pasuk inside, the servant said to respond to Shaul, I have in my hands a quarter of a shekel, I will give at least Shalokim to the man of God, the Yigilonos Darkenu, he'll tell us where to go. So the Rabbag says an amazing thing here. If you take a look at the Rabbag on the third sheet, you have the Rabbag. You should have the Rabbag on Pasuk Pasuk Ches. Anybody see the Rabbag? You have it there? Vayomer Stark, you have the Rabbag? Pasuk Ches. Vayomer, he said, he named Sobi Adi Reva Shekel Kesef. Royally, Rabbag. Rabbag.
He has a hatchet.
Where?
Triangle cane.
They say that this Rabbag is a descendant.
Is he really?
Vayomer, he named Sobi Adi Reva Shekel Kesef. I have a quarter. Roy Shishala Shishoel. It's proper for a person to ask the question, Ma Matanazeh? What is this kind of gift? Nisha Moshe will be sold to somebody who's a ruler in Klaiso. Vechi talking, how is it possible? She demand that Shaul would think Shemi Decha Navi, that would be the manner of the Navi. Can't find it? Fingers missing. Shemi Decha Navi, that it should be the manner of the Navi. Lokachas Elo Amatoras to take these gifts. The Yidman, and it would seem Shenema Bezer, that the Navi is telling us, Kizem Atan Loya El Lahoya Navi, this is only to arouse the Navi. So fascinating things about this. The Torah was to arouse the Navi spiritually. She's bodeh binyane baalze that he should meditate concerning the matters of the owner of the baalze amat of the owner of this gift. And by getting the gift, hoisa machshavto misbodedes, his thought would meditate binyana concerning the matters of this person who came to him. Vaisa magas lo nevuah bahem. And through this he received a nevuah concerning these matters. Ulezeha yanog, and that's why this was the custom. Sheyidnu lo asholi mimenu, davar nevuah, that people would request from the Navi some prophecy, would give him davar ma, something, lesabev, to cause, sheyizbodid machshavto, that his thought would meditate in your name in these matters. And then he says, vulai, besides that, hayazeh, atah, it also came now, kulai mitzarazikta, kashmo is old, he couldn't arouse himself to Nevu in these matters, King Bezelf, and except in such a matter. V'chein, matzano b'yitzchak. Shamal Esav Yitzchak said to Esav, sheyovi l'matami, he should bring him delicacies, v'yochan or the sheet, k'day shetizbodin machshavtu b'nyonav. Zman Racham, in order to be able to meditate on Esav's matters in his thought for a considerable amount of time, Yagilo b'derech nevuah, that he should attain prophetically, Ma'ashasi l'avol of that which will eventually come upon Esav. Ki ain't him b'derech hashol, because otherwise a person who's perfect, it's not proper shivakish mo'il advarim, so he should ask for things like money, levakasha satanuk, for something like, something like pleasure. So obviously the Rabbah holds that this money, and with this you can understand why Chassidish Rebbe's take Pidyonis, that this money that had a unique quality in that it would allow Shmuel to somehow bond meditatively and spiritually with the person who had made the request and allow him then to concentrate and focus on that issue and arouse himself to Nevuah. Now a lot of you are smirking, even the
Chassidim.
Yeah, even the Chassidim among you are smirking. But the Rabbah was a very great rationalist. He was not a big makubo. He was a very, very scientific, philosophy oriented person, and he's the one who's saying that. So you have to address it seriously.
It's hard to meditate on the mental stuff.
Okay. It's interesting, by the way, once you mention that there is a machlokas, achroinim, among the Bali Machshava, is it better to meditate when you are hungry, when you're fasting, or better to meditate when you are full? You know, I don't know if I have a full set, because the photocopying went bad today, but we're on one of the pages. So in any event, the question is how to get rid of Gashmius best. Is it best to get rid of Gashmius by fasting, because then you don't have any Gashmius, or is it best to get rid of Gashmius by eating, because then you're not worried about your Gashmius?
So
you know the answer? So this is a big machlokas. What works, different strokes for different folks. Some people function best spiritually on an empty stomach, some people best on a full stomach. Most people here are probably on a full stomach, from the way you all look. But
I have a Ryan, including myself. I have a Ryan.
But yes.
I have a cup of coffee before that.
That's right. So in any event, that's Rabbah. It's interesting here, the Malvim has a just in Pashup Shana, the Pasuk. Take a look at the Malvim and Pasuk Zayin. The Malvim and the Mikroskos are separate sheets, Mrs. Levy. I didn't have the right knock today. He says in Pasuk, Pasuk Ches, I wanted to show you. Pasuk Ches, he says, by Yosef, Heshiv Anar, the Nar said, Ineza Emes, it's true. If you go and you're of a distinguished family, you go to visit Shmuel, you got to give him a significant gift. It's on separate pages because I didn't have I didn't have the Navi, which had the Malvim and the Kofos together this week. Sorry, I have to do some page flipping tonight. Do you have that page? Yeah, Dvar Shmuel, yes. So he says, "Vayosef Anar, Eishiv Anar, Zemes is Tushim Tisra Telefonot. If you go before the Navi, Derech Riyas Parim as a formal visit, so you got to look for true. You got to give a nice present. Avol, Avol Eitzah Shurak Anochi Echitzel. But this is the idea. I'll go by him. I'm a nothing. If you are the names of Rebbe Shlomo Kessel, true, I got a quarter. But Shazay, I speak by Tal Tircho, that's enough for me to give him first of all. In other words, if a Gvir goes to Navi, so he's got to give a nice check. But if you know, Tom Dick and Harry go to Navi, so he can give him a dollar, right? So I'll pay him. Since I'm a servant, and so I don't have to give him such a big gift. Okay. Pasuk test. The funny Bishra was an amazing pasuk. The funny Bishra was used to be in Klai Yisrael. This is what a man would say when he went to quest God's answer. Let us go to the seer. S-E-E-R. Kila Navi Hayom, that which is called today a Navi, a prophet, the Kari Lefani Maro was called once upon a time a seer. Now, the Radak has problems with this. When exactly chronologically this happened? When did they used to call them Roe? When did they used to call them Navi? We never saw this term Roe before in Shoftim either. It's significant because it's going to tell us something about Shoal's attitude towards Shmuel. And I'll come back to that in a second, but let's go first and see the Malbim here. The Tvar Shmuel. Lefani. Kosei Vasefer, the author of the book Yodienu, is telling us, Bamis Balei, do not be astounded. Echa Yozeh, how could this be? Shal Shor on an ox, Vachabor on a donkey, Vachavir on any lost time, Vachim Roa, this go to a seer. Vayinosla Beschor Kesser used to pay him, Uvadri is born of Shur, and for seeing him, they used to give him also a little present. Kluya Amina, Kluya Amina Kev, now for the fact that the minute was like this, Loya Shor Omer came, now the Shor would not have talked about this to his servant. Which he never found any Navi. After this generation. Omer, therefore he says, there's a difference between Navi in later generations, and the seer previously. Why is the Navi called a Navi? He's called Navi because of what he says and how he rebukes us. Navi means to express. Niv is the expression of the lips. So Navi is somebody who expresses something, verbalizes something, rebukes, tells, etc., etc. Al kidva Hashem diber bo, because Hashem speaks to him. Vayishlachei, when he sends him, lagilam pilam pisham, to tell the nation their sins. Ulebeit Yaakov pisham, and to tell the house of Jacob their iniquities. Velo Shalchu bimlechus Hashem, bimlechus Hashem. The only reason I send him is for the work of God. Rak l'tzorchin yonei haklal, v'agoy kulam. For the entire nation, the entire society. V'lo, and not, charuch hakodesh, but also it's very important. They didn't have divine spirit to see specific things. I know, you know, you wouldn't go to Yirmiyahu and ask Yirmiyahu, where are my lost sheep? Wouldn't do that. But the seer previously, Nikra B'Shmo, was called that name, Al Shem Shriyat Sofer Brua Kodesh, since he saw with his divine spirit Hashorah love which rests upon him, Koran for him Ahobim, anything which occurred, Vasidim, and things which occur in the future, V'gayim in Yonah Yechidim HaPriyotayim, and also matters of individuals and their details. V'akein, and therefore, there was a distinction. Ha'yubarchim in Anavi, later in Jewish history, used to run away from prophets. There. Asher Yotami Magi Pesha Machia Chaliyot, because he always used to rebuke them. And they used to run out of the wherever and pursue the seer. Because everybody could get what they wanted. On lost items, and on thefts, and sick people, and on women, and you know, the Malbim was a misnagid. It's almost as if he's writing and saying, we misnagdim, we rabbanim, nobody comes to us, but to Chassidish Rebbe's, everybody goes, right? Because the Rebbe's, they give him brachas, they give him parnasa, we tell them to be better people, they don't, they go away from us. You almost see this in the Malbim's prayers here. It kind of slips in. So, well, you know, some true of Matan Babu, she's bothered, lying on the name, and it's going to give, because he used to meditate on their matters. Once it was called to look for him, they used to go in groups, everybody had their own question. That which is called the Navi today, who only has the Ruach HaKodesh to prophecy and to rebuke. Used to see everything Ruach HaKodesh asher lo mash mimenu, which would never cease, which would be on him concerning each and everything, regardless of its purpose. And that's where the Malbim and the Radak says a similar thing, and he says also that uh, He says, however, slightly different. He says that a Roach, you don't have to see inside, but I'll tell you, he says a Roach is somebody who had a limited, as a matter of fact, it's not slightly different. He draws the same difference between a Roach and a Navi grammatically, but he says a Roach would see specifically these matters, and he wouldn't have this Ruach HaKodesh of a Navi, which was to see global things. It was almost like he was a service, lost object retrieval service, and bracha for sick person service. Whereas the Navi would be somebody who was involved with more an ethical and leadership type issues. So the Malbim puts it that a Roach was higher than a Navi, because the Roach was constantly, and he included a Navi, and he went beyond the Navi even to mundane matters. Whereas the Rav Nachman said a Roach was less than a Navi. A Roach focused on these issues. It's like he was a psychic of some sort. Whereas a Navi was somebody who had a profound impact on the generation. And I believe that either way, Scholl's perspective on Nevi'im was that of a Roach. In other words, even though this is a new period, and Shmuel was somebody who led the nation through his Nevuah, and Itaka was the prototype of the new type of Navi, not the old type of Roach, but Scholl was still fixed on Roach, old-fashioned, a soothsayer, somebody who could tell you the future, somebody could tell you where your lost objects were. Scholl was fixed on that, and this is going to come up, well, as we discuss later on, in the next few psukim.
Doesn't it sound, from Pasuk Shat to Pasuk, that they're one and the same? Kilin Avi Ayon, Mikar Lefonim HaRoa, that what's called up today was previously known as...
You mean because it says Yikare? You're right. One could make the case it's really the same thing, but neither the Rav Nachman nor Malbim are learning that way. And I think that Yikare means here that a similar office, but certainly they did different things. In other words, both obviously had some sort of influence from beyond this world, beyond Olam Hazeh, simple daily life. But I think that their purpose in receiving that influence is a different one, not just semantics. Although I can't argue with you that you could translate the Pasuk away, I choose not to. Okay? Vayom Shol announced to Pasuk Yod, Shol said to the servant, Kod Varcha, you're saying good. In other words, L'cho Necha, you go, and you'll ask the question, but in the meantime, let's go to the place. They went to the city, where the Ishalokim was. They're going up the way to the city. Now, I'm going to read the next three psukim together, but then I'll go back and speak about them one by one. They're going up the way to the city. And they found maidens. The Otos Lisha of Mayim were going out to draw water. And they said to them, is there a seer in the city? And the women responded. And they said, yesh, there is. He's in front of you. Go up right now, because today he came to the city. Because today there's a sacrifice for the nation in the city, Baboma, in the local altar, which was mutter in those days. When you come to the city, this is how you should find it. Right before he goes up on the stage, lechol to eat. The nation, the people will not eat till he comes. Because he's going to bless he's going to say the invocation at the meal. And then the invited people will eat. Now go up here, so because he, like today, you will find him. In other words, today, not tomorrow. Now let's go back to the Pasuk Yud-Aleph. First of all, why is he speaking to him so long, these women? So Rashi brings down Chazal and say, Shaul was handsome. So they wanted to look at him as long as possible. So they kept on speaking at great length. The Radak and Malbim have a more benign explanation of why they were speaking so long. They say that there was a precise time when Shmuel was told he would meet the person destined to become the king over Am Yisrael. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that their conversation should take so long so that Shmuel would come precisely at the right time to meet Shmuel, the preordained time. That's why it took a little bit, they took a little bit longer. I don't know if there's any significance in that they came out to draw water. I know that if you remember, of course, by Rivka and Rachel, right, all these significant drawing water, but I don't know if there's a significance here or not.
Maybe they're waiting for him.
Moshe, that's right. What?
Maybe they're waiting for him to help him draw the water.
Maybe they're waiting for him to propose.
He let them down,
right. In any event, the Mom has a nice explanation of their instructions here. Mom says, what they were saying is, listen, this is the ideal time for you to come. Because they just finished sacrificing. But they have me at downtown to eat. If they sit down to eat, then it's really going to be too late because Shmuel is going to be taken with all the, you know, the speeches and the pledge and the appeal and all that. So you can't get him. It's right time. You got to hurry up.
The vine will be in progress.
Right, the vine will be in progress. You got to hurry up and get him right now. And don't think you wait till after it's all over because it's going to go late into the night. And tomorrow morning he's leaving bright and early. So therefore, this is the time, the ideal time to rush in and get in as soon as possible. Okay? So right now, go as soon as you can and make him get it before he goes up to the bummer. Don't worry that he's going to be in a rush to get up there and only he'll speak to you because they're waiting for him. In other words, he's not going to feel pressed so much, at least. We'll have enough time to answer your question because they're waiting for him because they're not going to start eating until he gets there. Now, a couple of very interesting things here. First of all, Rashi brings down in Pasuk Yud Gimel that what bracha was he going to make on the Zevach? It says, brings down, first of all, you have to add there, you would make amotzi, you know, at a banquet always, it gives somebody dignified the honor to say the amotzi. This is Rashi, not me. And besides that, he says, it's a special bracha to make on Shlomi. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hashem Shem Tzav Tzivanu Lechol Zevach. And that bracha they have to make when they're going to eat the shlomim immediately thereafter. Now, in my recollection, although I might be wrong, this is the first bracha in Tanakh which we find prior to eating. I challenge you to find another one. I don't think that there's a bracha prior to eating. It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa to make a bracha before you eat. So in my opinion, my recollection is the first bracha before eating all of Tanakh. Now, why is that significant? Because we know, wherever this is a yisoid which we've mekabel from Reb Tzadok and others, that wherever an issue appears first in Tanakh, that is the spiritual root of that concept. So bracha appears, the bracha lefanea, bracha before eating, appears for the first time here in the parsha of Shmuel coming to anoint Shaul. If you take a look at my notes on the last page, just let me have it. I, of course, found a Reb Tzadok about this. Not directly, but one which I could apply. Right here, in the middle of Pasuk Yud Aleph through Yud Gimel, it is most appropriate that it appears in conjunction with Shaul, the first victor of Amalek. Shaul was the first one to wage a war against Amalek. Why? Because Reb Tzadok says in Dover Tzedek, though this, meaning Shemakish or Hashem Yisbarach, though this is not exactly Reb Tzadok's lashon, but I'm paraphrasing him, here in the backwards here. Shemakish, where that you recognize Hashem Yisbarach nasan lo, that God gave you this food. Besimcha, and you're in joy. The also Hashem Yisbarach negenayna, because you see God, so to speak, in front of you. Whenever we say bracha, we say Baruch Ato Hashem. We speak directly to God. Kaviyochol, so to speak, God is directly in front of us, and we rejoice over that. HaBracha Shulfanel, this concept which is included in the bracha before eating, Shetignu Chachamim, which Chachamim enacted, Ve'enu Teresh B'Ksav is not in Teresh B'Ksav. It never says Teresh B'Ksav to make a bracha. Why, it says to bench, but not to bracha, make a bracha before it. Ki Aksav, because Teresh B'Ksav, who I'm a foolish, is that which is explicit, V'goli and revealed, called to all. The Dover said, Eino Nigla Dain L'chol Olam Hazeh, L'chol Olam Hazeh. We don't see God opposite us in this world. It can't be in Teresh B'Ksav because that would mean that everybody experiences and we simply don't experience God opposite us. Why don't we? Because as long as Amalek is not eradicated, as long as there's evil in the world, there's still a lack of Hashem's presence. We can't perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina, opposite us. So here, it's very good that the first bracha made in Tanakh is in conjunction with Shaul's arrival on the scene. Because Shaul will be the first one to fight Amalek. It's true he didn't complete the job and that was his downfall, but after all, Mordechai and Esther then went in and, you know, one mopped up later on who were his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whatever. So therefore, this is the first bracha, the first hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, opposite an individual, explicit in Tanakh, is mentioned in conjunction with the first individual who will fight to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina, divine presence, more manifest, which is Shaul HaMelech. And the truth is that, you know, that the building of the Beit HaMikdash, which is the ultimate revelation of Shechina in this world, was contingent on two preceding mitzvahs. It could not be done until they had a king and until they eradicated Amalek. So all these things are leading up to greater revelation of the Shechina in the world. And it was pointed out to me also, very nice thing today, one of our very, we have a few very bright kids in the high school in Skokie. It's a Bachar in 10th grade, his name is Yitzhak Kagan. And he knows he was a Chidon Tanakh contestant. He knows Tanakh very well. And he pointed out to me when I told him over this board that there are three places in Torah where it says, at least three places, which are by Birkas HaMozon, by Minui Melech, pointing a king, and Mechias HaMoed. These three things are probably linked, because even the Birkas HaMozon, although it's not the same level as the bracha beforehand, but it also is, or not exactly the same thing, I should say, but also connotes the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, the king and the Mechias HaMoed are two components of bringing more Shechina, more divine presence down into this world. And where is the place where one can perceive the Shechina via the king's activities, and via Mechias HaMoed, and via Birkas HaMozon, the Chalter Savata Verachta, the place where this is to be perceived more than any other place in the world? Perhaps the only place that can probably be perceived is Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, all these things are mentioned in conjunction with the land of Israel, which is the place in which Hashem Elokecha, we say, Eine Hashem Elokecha ba Mereish Yishon Avarach Yishon, the eyes of God are upon you there, and your eyes are obviously directed towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why these things are all mentioned in conjunction with Eretz Yisrael. Okay, there's a very, concerning this, you know, what manifested the Shekhinah in the Midbar? Who remembers? What manifested divine presence in the Midbar? The Anan HaKavod. So the Ratak and Pasuk Yud Beis says that they would know Shmuel's presence. So what did Naro say there? They said, I didn't say anything explicit about this, but he says that the Radak says they would know, he brings them from Chazah, that they would know which one is Shmuel because Shmuel had a Anan, a cloud around him, an aura of some sort. Now it's interesting because, okay, well, I have to assume that they were telling the truth. Shoal doesn't see it. We're going to see in a couple minutes, Shoal simply doesn't see it. It's just a remarkable thing. Okay, let's do Pasuk Yudal from Zion. Vayalu Ayir. So they came to the city. Heima Boim Sochir, they were in, coming inside. They said, even Shmuel Yetzel, we cross them by a miraculous coincidence. Shmuel is coming opposite them. Lalos Abama, to go up to the altar. Vashem Goloa Sozin Shmuel, and Hashem revealed to the, in the ears of Shmuel, I've seen Nevuah exclusively to Shmuel, Yom HaKavit Debo Shol, one day before Shol's arrival, Lemor to tell him the following. Ka'et Machar, at this time, tomorrow, again, that's what the Ma'avim Radak say, that they made Shol wait to this point. Ka'et Machar, at this time tomorrow, Eshlach Elecha Ish Me'eretz Bin Yamin. I'm sending to a person from Eretz Bin Yamin. U'mishachto l'nagid al Ami Yisrael, she make him the nagid on my nation Am Yisrael. Voshia esami, and he should save my nation, miaplishim, from the hands of the Philistines. Ki ra'isi esami ki ba'at sakaso elai, because I saw my nation, and their screams have come to me. Ushmur ashol, shmur soshol. Hashem ano, and Hashem told him, hinea isha sharmati lecho, this is the man concerning whom I said to you, zeya tzor bami, he will be the one who will rule over, who will reign, R-E-I-G-N, my nation. Now, few interesting things here. First of all, what word is missing here from Hashem's? This is a trick question. I don't know if you're, it's not a trick question, but it's a hard question. I don't know if you'll get the answer. Get extra credit if you get the answer. What word is missing? What crucial word is missing from Hashem's prophecy here to Shmuel?
Melech.
Very good. Not bad. Melech. What does he tell Shmuel to make sure? A nugget. What happened to Melech? And Lamaisa consistently throughout this parak and the next parak until the very last line in the next parak, it says Nogid, not Melech. So the Ma'avim I saw at the beginning of the next parak, Taka picks up on this. It says the reason why Hashem did not call Shol a Melech is because Shol's Melucha would not be permanent, wouldn't last. But there are other places in Shmuel where Shol is called a Melech. So I don't know if I buy that answer so quickly. But there's another point I want to mention, which seems to perhaps to be unrelated, but in my mind is related, which is, what was Shaul is another hard question, so you can get this one. What was Shaul in his lifetime that David was not? A couple times in his life, Shaul did something or was something which David was never to be.
When is he was accepted by everybody?
David was also accepted by pretty much everybody. You have to think of Shaul's life for a minute. It's a hard question. Who didn't get a nevuah? That's right. David never got a nevuah. David was never a Navi. Shaul was a Navi. Twice, at least, in his life, if I recall correctly. Immediately after being anointed king, and later in life, towards the end, he became a Navi once as well, also. So this is very interesting. I don't know offhand if any other king was a Navi besides Shaul HaMelech. I have a feeling that that was a one-shot deal. Well, perhaps we can figure out why as we learn more about Shaul. But in any event, I think that that... What?
I mean, I just want to say that in the show we said that the beginning of the period of formal period of Nebuah.
Well, yeah.
But by the time David came around, there were already probably more Nebuim around. And for all we know, the only two Nebuim could have been Shaul and Shmuel.
The only Well, Shmuel was the one who made it more widespread, though. And this is the end of Shmuel's life, so it's, it makes sense to say that it was before. I mean, the Parak Beit said, "Midam Bar Beer Sheva," people were being misnabe. So I think it was a little bit earlier than this.
Actually, they both had the Urmatumim, didn't they? I mean, Shmuel's, and the time of Shmuel, the Urmatumim was
the They had a Urmatumim, of course, yeah.
And the Urmatumim certainly also had access to
him. Mm-hmm.
He had known the word, that's true. As a matter of fact, he had to consult
Nothing. Shaul had to consult later on his soothsayer. Not David.
Was it Shaul?
Shaul, right, after he lost the Nebuah.
After he lost the Nebuah.
Yeah, that was after he lost
the Nebuah.
He was the one who consulted. But David had Nothing and Navi, and God Achose, he had a couple of Navim who were always connected with him.
But if they had the Urmat Tumim back, for them, like
that, Navi. I'm not disputing that they had a Navi to tell them what to do, or the Tumim. But they themselves, that David never received active direction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, direct communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It
was about Ruach HaKadosh.
Yeah, but he described last week, we described what a Melech.
Yeah, I'll stall until you get back.
What is a Melech actually? What a Melech is good for them? Not only we describe it, I think that he will describe what a Melech.
Yeah, Shmuel described a Melech, yeah.
Completely. I mean,
Melech has no job as a Navi. You're right.
Well, as a matter of fact, it wasn't so complimentary.
Right. The question, though, is Adarabba. Since a Melech doesn't have to be a Navi, why was Shaul made a Navi?
Because
before Shaul came to Shmuel, he certainly wasn't a Navi.
Yeah,
he didn't even understand what Navim were all about. He called Navim Roim, a Roe, right? Yet nonetheless, Hashem sees fit, in the next paragraph, we won't see it tonight, but Hashem sees fit to make Shaul into a Navi. It's an amazing concept. Why bother? That's the question I want to deal with.
But he was the only one of all the...
Of all the kings, I want to see, I can't, it's hard for me to rack my brain and think of, and mm-hmm. say, you know, go through all Malachim. By heart, but I believe that although David had Ruach HaKodesh and Shlomo had Ruach HaKodesh, obviously Shlomo and David both wrote Tzvarim which got into the canon of Tanakh, but I don't believe that they had Nevuah. They were Baalei Ruach HaKodesh. They had divine inspiration, but they never had explicit actual Nevuah.
Let's go through Nevuah 101 just for a second. You're saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu granted him Nevuah.
Yeah.
And Nevuah is something that you have to reach a certain level, then what happens?
See, it's not pashut. Normally, Nebuah requires you to reach a certain level. That's why they had schools for Bnei HaNevi'im, who would uplift themselves and transcend this world in order to become Nevi'im. But sometimes Hashem sends an individual, even if he's not understood worthy of Nebuah, because there's a certain, what's the word? Some major reason for it. So that seems to be the case with Shaul, because we're going to see. Shaul saw a school of Bnei Nevi'im. The people are being trained, acolytes. In Nevuah, and he joined them up, and he, you like that word? That's too Christian for you. So he joined up with them, and he actually started prophesying with them. So it seems it was without any preparation. So I want to talk to you about this a little bit. Take a look back at my notes. Pasuk Yudal Yudzayin. Thank you. I did stall. Okay?
I have a question about the word
Yatzor. Yeah, I'll talk about Yatzor. So he says here, and the naked bus, when you pull the string, it says, that's all right. I brought down here that, you can see the Radakwa, the priest wants more nuisance. He says Shmuel was old, and Shmuel was not able to go out and rebuke the Jews anymore, so they started sinning again, so the priest reared their heads again. It is remarkable that Shmuel, Hashem and Shmuel never called Shaul a Melech. but rather use a new word. It's the first time this word appears in Tanakh as well. Nagid. Doesn't appear anywhere else in anywhere previously in Tanakh. In Mishlei Chesvav, the Meiri says, on the Pasuk, Shimu kinigidim adaber, where Shlomo Mel says, listen, because I am going to speak distinguished words. Umafteach spasai mishrei, I'm going to open my mouth with straight things, straight talk. So he says, Meiri says, v'yesh leparsho, kin pirish radak, this radak v'shroshav in his sefer on Hebrew words, erech neged, in the entry on neged, b'shem aviv arizal, name of his father, milashon tagum, it's nigidim is an Aramaic word. Because the Aramaic translation of the word mishoch, to pull, in Shmos Yud Beis Chafaf, next week's Parsha, not Vayera, but Bo, is Nigidu. Mishchu chulchem tzon lebeis avos tzon lebeis. Right? Mishchu is translated Nigidu, which means to pull. So here at Klomar, Dvorim, Moshe Mishalev, so when you call some words Nigidim, they're words which are Moshe Chesalev, which draw a person's heart, which, you know, cause a person to listen. Hari ibn Janach, one of the Rishonim who were famous for Tiktuk. Not much else, obviously. Nobody else. We don't hear ibn Janach anywhere else, but he was famous for his Tiktuk. The Shrush of Erech Neged, also in his book, also appears also. The Shrush also come out Nechochim, words which are present. In other words, opposite you, which are clear to you. In other words, Nochech is somebody who's present in the room with you. You can see. So these words make sense to you. They impact upon you. You have an affinity with them. Shinyana Kuma Nochech means like somebody standing opposite you. Klam Rahochas al Seder. In other words, these are words which... they're well thought out, well arranged, B'kav Yashar the Nechochi, in a way which is straight, a straight line and present. So I believe, based on this, that the primary purpose, these two interpretations, the primary purpose of Shol is to draw Am Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and place them before in a Seder, in a manner, an arranged manner of proper conduct. So what's happening here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Shol, or rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Shmuel, make him a Nagid. He's going to be the Moshech, the puller of Klal Yisrael towards Hashem. It's interesting. That's the purpose of Shol, not just to pull them towards Hashem, but also to speak to them. Nocheach, to teach them, to stand, say to them, these are logical things. Listen to these things which I'm going to tell you. I also would interpret it like this, perhaps, although he obviously doesn't bring down the mirror. Nagid from the Lashon of to say over, right? A Nagid is Magid things, right? He says over things. And also, yet another interpretation, Nagid from the Lashon of Gid. Gid is a cartilage, right? Gid HaNoshe. And when Moshe Rabbeinu is told by Hashem to speak to Bnei Yisrael, Pasha Yisrael says, Koso Ma'ala Beis Yaakov, speak softly to the women, but Sagid Bnei Yisrael and say tough things, Dvarim Kashim Kigidim, when you speak to the men. So Nagid also could mean somebody who's supposed to be tough and straight. And, you know,
that's
also yeah, that's later. We, in medieval times, a Nagid became the word used for somebody who's rich. But this is the first time it appears in Tanakh. And the first time it appears in conjunction just with king. But yeah, you mean there was a position in Egypt, in Spain and Egypt, the Nagid, Rav Shmuel HaNagid, there are other Nagidim, right? It was an official position. Anyway, as a result, if he's the Nagid with these, with all of these meanings of the word, he's really supposed to be a spiritual mentor for Klal Yisrael. A spiritual mentor with governing powers to impose that spirituality. And therefore, Shmuel, when Shmuel says in Pasuk Yitzayin, Yatzor ba Roshol, so Hashem says to Shmuel, Yatzor ba me, so then, although most of the Pasuk explain Yatzor as material rule, the Malbim says that Yatzor means, just find it, Yatzorba is right at the end of the Dvar Shimon Yud Zayin. Ki Yatzorba Ad Rol Dakom, he's going to stop them like the Eged bus stops. He's going to stop them from the evil ways, Umoshuv Oseim and their mischief, Uvezeh Yizkeh Lo Shia Livasha. Now that'll merit saving and being saved. So Yatzor means hold them in a straight and narrow line. In other words, keep them within line, keep them in spiritually. That's what Yatzor means. Now, that's one interpretation. That's the probable, simple interpretation. But there's an amazing Targum Yonason on this. Then the Malbim, you don't have the Yonason, but in the other Navi Dish, you do have it. You don't have to look. I'll just tell you what it says. The Yonason Pasuk Zion says, what does Yatzor mean? This individual will remove the yoke from my nation. It's the opposite of everybody else, because everybody else says he'll place the yoke of Torah on them. But this means he'll remove the yoke. Well, that also means the same thing, and that's because by accepting Torah and accepting mitzvahs and following the straight path, so Enlecha ben Chorin el Mishoisek with Torah, that will cause them to be free. That will cause them to be able to get away from the plishtim. Okay, Pasuk Yudches. Shoal came and he drew nigh to Shmuel and met him in the gate. He said, please tell me where the house of Roe is. This is remarkable. Can you just imagine this oblivion? Very least Shmuel must have looked like a distinguished person. He must have been walking around in a frock in Hamburg, or like a Rav Avadia Yosef, in that turban. There's the traditional Tzion. That's good idea to be a Sephardi Jew, Rabbi, not an Ashkenazi one. So, in any event, he was walking around, at least in distinguished garb. And here he comes in and says, excuse me, do you see the house of the Roeh? And especially according to Radak, who said that the pillar of smoke. He's just oblivious. He obviously, and it makes sense, because if you think about it, he came from Binyamin. And Binyamin, they were the bad guys, right? They had just finished Kamal Pilegish Begivan, that whole thing. Binyamin was kind of a little bit outcast. So they probably didn't have so many holy people going through. Or so didn't have so much contact with Tamir HaChomim and such like. So Shaul, he's completely oblivious. He was obviously a good fellow. The Gemara, the Chon Navi told us at the beginning of the parakeet, he's a bachur v'tov. Good person. Good raw material. But he's completely oblivious to what Kedusha, to what sanctity is all about. He just simply doesn't have any grasp whatsoever. He can stare him right in the face. And he doesn't see it. So, Vayan Shmuel Shaul, Shmuel's response to Shaul, Vayomi said, Onochi Aroe, I'm the seer. Here's my car. Shmuel's here. But, what? I know he's not answering the question right. The question is, Ebe Zaroe, but he's short circuiting the question. Go up before me to the stage. Bama means the altar, but here it means the stage. You will eat with me today. Right at the back. And I'll send you back home in the morning. And anything in your heart, I'll tell you. Rather, the most important say any spakas you have, any doubts you have, any questions you have. The Malmu says any issues of Torah and Avodas Hashem. Which is an interesting thing because it doesn't seem like that was on top of Shaul's priority list at the moment. But that's what the Malmu says. Now, Chazal say Shmuel was punished for this. It says an Ochiro, and that's Gaiva. They say that later on, when he was sent later on to anoint David HaMelech, so he tried each one of the other sons of Yishai first, and when he saw David, he saw for sure it wasn't him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Hatabi del Mareu." Don't see how he looks. And David at the church, in other words, Hashem was saying to him, Chazal, "Oh, you said you're the Roeh. You really can't see. You don't know what you're looking for." So, according to Chazal, do criticize Shmuel for his response, and it says, the last son of Saul, the female donkeys which you lost, the pasuk chav, hayom today already shloshes yom for the last 3 days. I toss them as libchol lehem. Don't pay any attention to them. Forget it. Why? Ki nimtzo, because they were found already. Ulami and amen. Who has kolchem nas Yisrael? Who has all the precious things of Klai Yisrael? Halo lecha. Is it not you? Ulcho beis avichan, all your father's house. Now this is a very interesting thing. Shaul is never going to find the female donkeys. I believe it's significant. Remember, the whole parasha of Shaul began with Shaul coming to find female donkeys, and he doesn't find them. Now, there are a couple of meanings, I think, layers of symbolism here. The first layer of symbolism I'll mention now, maybe the next I'll mention the next parasha. I know. I want to continue through. Bilam, yes. We mentioned last week that Ason by Bilam spoke. And the symbolism of that was that you never know where the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come from. Sometimes even a Bilam, and even just like in a, sometimes even a song can talk if that's the Ratzon Hashem, sometimes even a Bilam can say the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even a Bilam can say, can speak over Nevuos. Nevuos on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Shaul's Midah was to find that. He would find that by people. And that's why Shaul saved Agur, because he felt something good about Agur. And the truth is, something good did come out of Agur. Chazal say, "Mibnei Banav Shel Haman Lamdu Torah, Mibnei Brak they learned Torah." And eventually, people from Amalek were Megayer and they become Jewish and became Talmid Chachamim. Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, I believe, one of the sources says was a descendant of Haman. So Shaul was looking for good in people who seemed to be not so good. Truth of you think about Shaul himself, that was Shaul himself. Shaul himself is a man who was Bachor of Etov, but he was raw on the outside. He didn't have that refinement, that character, that sense. I shouldn't say the refinement, maybe he was refined, but he didn't have that Ruach HaKodesh, that Shaychus to Nevuah, that appreciation of what a Navi was, even with staring in the face. But he got it. He was giving it to him, and that's why later on we'll see there's a whole thing, a whole initiation process which Shmuel teaches him how to be a holy person. So you never tell, you know, this could be that somewhere beneath the roughness there's a diamond, there's something precious, there's something unique. So that's what Shmuel Shaul looked for all the time. That was Shaul himself. So Kodesh Baruch Hu tells him, don't always look for that. Right? He looked too far. Hashem told him to destroy Amalek. It's not your cheshbon, maybe something good will come about Gog. Hashem tells you to destroy, you destroy. Let Hashem make his own cheshbonus. That was the thing. He doesn't find the asonos. It's a symbol, just finish the, he doesn't find the asonos, it's a symbol to him. You don't always look for the good in the dark places. It's true, there's a lot of good in dark places, a lot of good in unlikely places. It's not incumbent upon you always to look for it. Yes?
But you definitely told him to be in the
Torah. Yeah, but you didn't find them.
Who didn't find them?
Shaul didn't find them. They've been found. Not you.
Oh, somebody else.
Somebody else.
Don't worry about
right.
Your property, someone else is enjoying it.
Well, no, his father found them. His father who lost it, did found them. His father who lost them, found them. That we'll see in the next parak who exactly found them.
Oh.
But in any event, that's the cheshbon. That's the message to Shaul. If there's some good to come from Agag, fine. It'll come. Don't you think that you're not responsible to do it all the time. Right. Alti is about Shaul and Melech says, Chazal said, Alti Yitzadik Harbe. Don't be such a big tzadik. You know, don't think, oh, maybe I'll bring some good here in this space. Where don't be such a big tzadik. You do what you're supposed to do. Okay? Yeah. Pasuk, but Pasuk, Vayan Shaul, Shaul is fine, said, Vayomer, how can you say that? I'm so great. I'm from Binyamin, Miktani Shifti Israel, the lowest of the Shvatim, the smallest of the Shvatim of Klaiso. Umishbachti, Atsiira, my family is the youngest. Mikom Mishbach Shifti Binyamin, for all the families of the tribe Binyamin. Lovati Bakti Laika, Tobri said, why are you saying such things to me? You know, no concept of what was being said to him. By Kach Shmuel, that's Shaul, that's Naro. So Shmuel still has to start the process but an express education, you know, a crash course for Shmuel about how to be a dignified king. By Kach Shmuel, Shaul, it's going to start in this period, goes on to the next period. By Kach Shmuel, Shaul, that's Naro. So Shmuel took Shaul and his servant. By Emish Gosa. And he brought him into his office. So I guess he had a temporary office in that city. And then he gave them a place, or maybe they were eating in the Lishka. They were eating in this office. And he put them at the head of the table. The invited people, were 30 people. Shmuel said to the cook, the chef, give me the portion which I told you this morning to set aside. Which I told you today, keep it with you. In other words, set it aside, reserve it for me. That's a little bit different in pshat. Vayorim ha-tabach as a shok. So the tabach picked up the cook, the chef picked up the shok, the thigh. Ve'aleh, that which is upon, in other words, the surrounding flesh. Vayasev they shall only put in front of shok. Vayorim, by lifting up his shok, what significant pieces and what who's getting it. Rami said, "He nani shra. This is what was left, and I would set aside for you. Seem lefanechachol. Put it before you eat. Kilamoed, because for this time shemachol was safe kept for you, because Shmuel told me to. Lemoar, because Shmuel said to me, Ha'am karasi. I called the nation together. In other words, I assembled everybody, but I have somebody special. I'm sorry. When I said lemoar." Told you, difficult pasuk. Leimor, the chef said, because when I said Ha'am Karasi to Shmuel that I called the nation together for the zevach for the meal, so he said, set aside the most significant portion for whomever I tell you. So Vayochal, so it was set aside for him. Vayochal Shaul im Shmuel b'yom ahu Shmuel and im Shmuel with Shmuel and that day. So obviously the thigh in the Beis Hamikdash would go to the Kohen. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, when he brought Shlomim at a Bama, it didn't have to go to the Kohen. It went usually to the most significant person. So I just wanted to say that perhaps Shaul gets it, because as the Nogin, who brings the message of Hashem to the people to uplift them, he's similar to a Kohen.
But do you find it interesting that after the women that were watering their animals told that he won't make a bracha, it's actually not mentioned the fact that he had done so?
That he didn't... Not impressed by that, because it could be it's just shorthand. But I mean, if you had some mahalach in it, you know, some.
No, it's not. You made this whole drasha the first time it was said, but you know, it didn't actually happen. Said he will do so at this point, but
right.
He didn't actually do it.
Well, a lot of times, by the Tanakh, you know, that it's lashon katzar. It tells you either at the time that something is done or when it's planned, but it doesn't tell you both. Just so you know, he parses his words. But there is an emphasis, they ate together. And there is something electric, something mystical in the eating together. And, Vayerdu me'aboma, they went down from the stage here to the city. Vaydabashim Shoah Agag, they also had a conversation. Board preparations, Shmuel preparing Shoah for his destiny. Vayashkima, they got up early in the morning. Vayikalos Shachar, and when the dawn rose, Shmuel called Shaul Hagog to the roof, Lemark, where he was staying. He stayed in a second floor apartment. Kuma, arise, and I will send you. Shaul arose, and they both went out. Hu Shmuel, he and Shmuel chutzah, outside the house. They're walking down to the edge of the city. Shmuel says to Shaul, and Morlan, I tell your servant, let him pass beyond us in front of us. By Avon, he went beyond. Now you, Amod, Kayom, stand like this day. And I'll tell you the word of God. So the Ma'am says, the last four lines of the parak, Amod Kayom, Kamo Michro Kayom is Bechorot Choli, like when Yaakov said to Esav, sell like the day your Bechorot to me. Yishavali Kayom, swear to me like the day. Gam Rama is low, the Navi is alluding to him, Ki Kamo Shuat Kayom, just like the day is breaking, Kena mod limloch blatzel, so to arise, to reign, and to be successful. Aderch b'kiso k'shemesh negdi, like it says, his throne is like the rising sun before me. Vorech tzadikim ka'or noga, and the way of tzadikim, the pathways are like an illuminating light. In other words, he's saying, your malchus should be kayom. Atah mod kayom, arise like the day. And I'm going to tell you the word of God, how to reign properly. Okay, parakut. Vaikach shemol tzbach hashem. Yes.
Can I ask a grammatical?
Yes, you may.
Yes.
Yeah, the Malbim asks about S, and he says that this is in Pesach Yudches. What was the other Pesach? Yudches.
The whole Sefer
Shmuel. Yudches. Yes. Shmuel S Shol is correct in Yudches. It should respond not El Shol. So Vayan S it's proper grammar, but Yudches he says it's not. He says it's in order to emphasize that it was a miraculous coincidence that they met each other so immediately. So the S tells us that there was some destiny there. You know, it's because Hashem told on the previous day, at this time, in this place, you're going to meet the new king of Israel. Okay? Vayikach Shmuel Pach Hashem and Perekut Paskal. Shmuel took the tin container of oil, Vayitzoka Rosho, and he poured it on Shol's head. Vayishokein and gave it to him to drink. Hope it tastes good. Vayomer said, "Halo ki mishachacha Hashem, behold that Hashem has anointed you al nachlaso on his portion linogid, be the nogid." So it's interesting. The portion point out this is not the true Shemen Amishcha, because the true Shemen Amishcha was reserved for the kings from the house of David. Rather, this was Shemen Afar Simon, a very precious oil from an extinct fruit which we no longer have. The persimmon we have today is not the same persimmon they had back then. They recently found, I saw in the New York Times a couple of years ago, they found some oil in the Dead Sea area, you know, the Qumran cave type places, which they think is persimmon oil because it has a genetic makeup not similar to any oil that we have today. And if I recall correctly, although I might be making this up for a fact, if I recall correctly, they still had a fragrance after all these thousands of years. But I might be making it up. Anyway, the...
You're not even going to care for that long.
But...
Pretty much
the marble is the sealed bottom. The marble brings down in this process it's getting late, I don't know if we should see the marble this week. Maybe we'll leave the marble for next week. Let me just say a couple of things about the pasuk itself. The Radak says, brings down Chazal, which we had just at the end of Masech Tehorios a few weeks ago, that David, who was Nimshach to Keren, who was anointed with a horn, his Malchus flowed like the horn is long. Whereas Shaul, who was anointed with a pach, with a tin can, his Malchus was short. It didn't flow, it wasn't extended. So Shaul is why? Knowing that there's a symbolism, and that symbolism is meaningful because it's a form of tefillah, or has some prophetic element to it when done by Shmuel. So why did Shmuel take a pach and why did he not take a keren? Surely he doesn't want Shmuel to stumble. So you could say, partially he didn't realize. Okay, but we want to give a better answer to that. The Rabbah seems to learn that the word pach is connected with the word hafach, to turn something over. And that makes sense. And Shmuel is willing to signify that it was necessary to overturn Shaul from his previous state. Shaul was, as we said before, very good raw material, but very coarse raw material. And now Shmuel is going to give him a long, fascinating discussion, which we're going to see in this parak, a long thing about Nebuah. A long discussion about how you're going to experience now prophetic symbolism. On your way home, certain events are going to occur to you, which are going to be mystical in nature. Mali will explain them. And also, you're actually going to have a prophecy. So Shmuel is turning, he's changing Shaul. He's metamorphosizing him. He's making him from what he was to something new and above and beyond. Hafach, changing him. And this also, I think, is alluded to is perhaps a part of the reason why why it's connected with the P-Aso. Why it's connected with the Asonos here. Again, the Ason Abilam was something which was completely material, completely animal, base animal, started talking. Which started connected to the fact that Bilam, who was such a Rasha, was able to enunciate words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here, a similar thing is happening to Shaul as well. Shaul was very far from the war. He didn't realize who Shmuel was. He didn't see the smoke, the Anon. He didn't see, he called Nevi'im, Rohim. He had no concept. He was like, vis-a-vis Nevuah, he was like the Oso. But that's also about to happen to him here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to change Shaul completely from a simple, common, good person to an elevated, inspired Navi and Nogi. That's what's going to happen in this parak. We're going to see it happening, unfolding before our eyes. That's really like the Oso. And ultimately, that was Shaul's downfall. Shaul thought that the Ritzot brings down somewhere else. As I said before, that he thought as a Melech and a Navi, he can look at things on a different level than everybody else. And he can outsmart, so to speak, even the Tzivui, which came to him from Shmuel, not to kill Amalek, even Agag. That was dangerous. And that's why, perhaps, no other Melechim subsequent to Shaul were ever made Nevi'im, but we still have yet to see, as we'll see next week, how Shaul went through the process of becoming a Nevi'im.